Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, as always, on the air and online as well. We'd love to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a Bible question you'd like to pose, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Same number good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Through this 2,000 years of church history, whenever the grace of God has been fully taught, fully explained, there are those critics, those skeptics, those who are just wanting to know what really is being taught and said. They raise the question, so you're saying we should go on sinning so that grace may abound, so that grace may increase. As a matter of fact, Paul ask and answer that question in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Well, that's a question that follows on the coattails of a discussion on justification. And in Romans chapter 5, we see Paul talking about justification, and that's our subject matter for the month. So let me just read a couple of passages out of Romans chapter 5. So we'll start in verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, that was Adam. So when Adam sinned, it turned us all into sinners, and it brought death to every single one of us. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? So we have two people that we're looking at. We have Adam. Mm-hmm. And we have a choice that Adam made and the consequences of that choice for all of mankind. And now we have Jesus and the choice that he made to be obedient. So Adam was disobedient to the Lord. Jesus was obedient in that he gave himself over to death and became that once for all sacrifice for sin. So one man brought sin and death. Another man is going to bring righteousness in life. Yes. So we have these two people and their choices result in consequences, good and bad, for all of humanity. So that's what this passage is saying. So going down to verse 18, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. So what did Adam's act bring to all men? Condemnation. What did Jesus' act of obedience bring to all men? Justification and life. That's a pretty good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that is a gift of grace. That is not something that we could earn. That's not something that we could negotiate in some type of barter arrangement with Jesus. This was just God acting in Jesus to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. We stood condemned. We were judged. We were guilty. We deserved punishment. Yet God sent Jesus to stand in our place, to take our punishment for us. That's God's act of justice. And then he freely justifies us by grace. That's God acting as justifier, and he can act as justifier because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So the law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace is bigger than sin. Grace is more powerful than our sins. We see that evidenced at the cross. The death of Jesus was for the sins of the entire world. Sometimes we think that we've sinned so much we've out-sinned the grace of God. Well, just think about how many sins Jesus took upon himself 2,000 years ago. He took your sins. He took your sins. He took my sins. He took the sins of the entire world, and he died in our place. And so that's grace. And by grace, Jesus tasted our death so that we could receive his righteousness and be fully made fully alive together with him. So we've been born again to walk in the newness of life. So when we truly understand what's happened here, that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, when we fully recognize that, then this question, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase, sounds ludicrous. Sounds absolutely idiotic. We have to think of this in terms of a disease. We've been set free from, you know, the consequences and the awful nature of cancer, and now we're well. Well, so should we go back to cancer? Absolutely not. And that's what this is saying. We were judged. We were condemned. We were sinners. We had nothing to offer God. And now through grace, he's justified us and brought us new life. And this new life is so different than the old. We get to actually grow in the love of God and grow in the grace of God. And so when we understand that, we say, why would we ever want to go back to that old way of life? Once we've been justified, why would we ever want to look back to the old? That's what this gospel message is all about.
Let's just rest in this basic gospel.
Yes, indeed.
You found basic gospel on your radio dial, everybody. Plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines, indeed, are wide open. Plenty of time on the clock and plenty of open lines. 844-322-2742. Program note, on tomorrow's edition of Basic Gospel, we have something very, very special for you. As we've been talking in the last several weeks, we have a wonderful, wonderful adventure coming up to the Holy Land, coming up in February this coming year, 2017. And this past week, we had the opportunity to share some time with Abraham Hillel, who will be the tour guide. And Bob, you'd met him many, many years ago, and you just fell in love with him. And of course, we did here too. But I know what one of the reasons that you really liked him is because you're taller than he is.
So, just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit, yeah. But it was a great time.
Yeah.
Great time.
Well, Abraham is just one of the most passionate men I know. He loves Israel. He loves the land. He loves the history of the people. He's read the Bible just from cover to cover just thousands of times. So he knows the story. And so he's just a marvelous person to be guiding us through the Holy Land. And you'll get to hear his passion tomorrow.
Yes.
And if you're sitting on the fence, I think what you hear from Abraham will move you in the direction of going with us next February, February the 7th through the 18th in 2017.
Yeah.
So stay tuned tomorrow for a very exciting broadcast.
And in the meantime, check out the website, basicgospel.net. Click the events menu, and you'll find the Israel trip there and all the information, including an opportunity to register online. If you'd like to do it in advance, we would love for you to do that. Again, basicgospel.net and the events tab.
Let's go to Louisville and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I was just telling Michelle, I try to turn off the TV when it shows something about homosexuality on it, but I like the Fab Life, and they have a homosexual on there, and I try not to watch it, but I watch it now and then. I know I'm not going to go to hell for it, but I guess I'm just struggling with it. Should I not watch it? I mean,
well, Mary Jo, that has to be an individual decision. If to you you're feeling guilty over that, if to you you see that as a sin, then by all means turn the television off. Does that make sense to you?
Well, why'd you say if I see it as a sin? Isn't it a sin?
Well, there's a lot of people who, you know, for example, you know, somebody would say, you know, it might be a sin to eat meat on Friday. And so they've grown up with that programming. And so maybe they, learn some truth and they come to Friday and it still feels a little weird for them to eat something other than fish, to eat to eat actually meat on Friday. And so they may say, hey, for me, that's sin to eat meat on Friday, just based on what I've grown up with. So that's the gist that I'm giving here. So if you're, you know, there's nothing wrong with viewing a television show. If for you, you struggle with a particular program, then change the channel.
Well, I don't watch it a whole lot, so I'm saying I just watch it now and then, and I guess in my mind I'm thinking, well, I try not to watch as much as I can, since the Bible doesn't approve of homosexuality. See what I'm saying?
I do. I mean, and like I said, if you think in watching it you're condoning that lifestyle, then back away from it. It's as simple as that. If you feel like in turning on that program you're condoning a particular lifestyle, then shut it off. If that's what you're sensing the Holy Spirit leading you to do, then that's what you should do.
Okay. Well, I also might try to write him. I don't know his name, but I might be able to find it out and maybe share some gospel with him. So keep me in your prayers about that. Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, 844-322-2742. We have open lines for you right now. Give us a call. We want to discuss your particular topic or address your Bible question. 844-322-2742. A question, guys, from Kim, who writes to us from Perryton, Texas, says, please help me understand the difference between Christ helping me live the Christian life and letting Christ do it all through me. What does that look like, letting Christ do it all through me?
I think it gets down to two words, human effort. When we're asking Jesus to help us, we're relying on human effort. Mm-hmm. So it's up to me to figure out how to live the Christian life. Well, that's going to be an impossible task, and you're going to find that out. You're going to fall flat on your face time and time and time and time again. That's just the limitations of human effort. And Paul asked that question to the Galatians. He said, you who started out by the Spirit, why are you trying to perfect yourself through human effort? And they didn't have an answer for that. And I guess when they thought about it, it was probably, well, we're trying to please those Judaizers, mm-hmm. those leaders, those Jewish leaders that came in and said, this is what we need to do to be real Christians. So we were trying to please them. And so we started doing things through human efforts rather than by faith in Christ's indwelling Spirit. So the life that we've been called to is a life of faith. So as we are trusting Christ, we're going to see and have a more keen awareness of what Christ is doing inside of us, of what the Spirit of God is doing inside of us. And then we will have this compulsion given to us by the Spirit to step out by faith and follow through with what God is doing in and through us. That's how it works. So one is a reliance on human effort. The other is a reliance on Christ Jesus, who's alive, living in you.
Yeah, and you can't always tell which behavior is which, because we're talking about good things here. I mean, should I love my wife? Absolutely, I should love my wife. Is it up to me, or am I going to do it in the Spirit with the indwelling Christ? And when the good things, when you finish with it, it's perfectly okay to say, Lord, was that me or was that you? And the Spirit will. I mean, the Spirit's there to renew our minds, and so the Spirit will have this conversation with us and reveal to us what we did by faith and what we did in our own strength.
Richard, do you think, in light of what you just said, that it really gets down to the Spirit of God bringing us to a point of rest and contentment? Mm-hmm. And when we're there, then we can see serving others in a completely different light. Mm-hmm. I'm actually completely free to serve others,
yes,
at that moment in time. So we're always looking at the things that we're supposed to be doing, and God's Spirit is bringing us to a place, to a point of rest in Him. not only in his finished work and the fact that we're forgiven people, but also in the fact that we've been declared righteous, also in the fact that we're in the grace of God and can never be outside of the grace of God ever again, and learning to be content with that, really coming to a place of peace in this new state of being that we're in as far as believers in Christ. And that frees us up to live out what God is working in and through us. I don't have to try to please people and try to get their approval and try to get those pats on the backs. I already have all that from Jesus.
Yes,
He's already called me His child. He's already said, I love you. And so when we really believe that, and that's what the Spirit of God is going to bring us to that place of really believing it. I get it. I'm really there, Lord. I'm standing there with both feet on solid ground. I know that you love me. And when we're there, then we're really free to see His life being lived out through us.
Well, Bob, what you're saying is really underscored in your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It shows that everything that we're trying to achieve in the Christian life, it's already been provided to us by God, by grace through Jesus Christ. And, we say that's basic gospel, and we think that's pretty good news. And, friends, you know, if you'd like to get a copy of Bob's book as our thanks for your gift this month of $20 or more, we'll send you a copy of the book and the study guide that accompanies it. And all you need to do to make your gift is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator, Billy, anytime during Central Time office hours, 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Or donate at basicgospel.net. And by the way, we also accept donations through PayPal. Currently, this is the best way for those of you outside the U.S. to support the ministry of Basic Gospel. Plenty of open lines right now, still time on the clock. You can squeeze in your question if you call quickly, 844-322-2742. As a matter of fact, Jose squoze his in by email, and his question is, he says, I go to a church where I'm not learning some of the things, and some of the things that I do here are confusing. If I leave the church, will God be mad at me? I love the people. I honestly don't know what to do.
Well, no, God's not going to be mad at you. Here's this gospel of grace in which God says, I love you, and I've sent my Spirit to live inside of you, and just my presence with you proves that I love you, and it proves that I've declared you to be righteous. It proves that all of these gifts of grace are indeed yours. So, you make a decision like that, God isn't going to turn His back on you. God isn't going to be disgusted with you. God may reason with you and say, hey, I think this is a place that you can serve and really be used by me to help others. Or He can confirm that, hey, I think right now this is the best decision for you. So God isn't going to be mad at you. He just wants to reason with you, to have conversations with you, to be in relationship with you so that you can figure these things out together, so to speak.
Yes.
So, no, He's not mad at you. Take a look at the grace of God, and I think that will answer that particular question.
Friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, as Jose obviously was not able to, we encourage you to drop us an email. If you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, you can do that by addressing us at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Sometimes get all the websites mixed up, but, hey, we'll get it corrected.
Yes. Well, let's go to Sharon in New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Just a real quick one. The author of The Road Less Traveled and Further Down the Road Less Traveled, I kind of picked up the Further Down book last night and hadn't seen that book in like a really long time because I had a hard time with it like many years ago. But his first premise is, we all know that the Garden of Eden story is a myth. And I went, okay, don't really, if that's a myth, then the rest of the book is, how do we know? What are your comments about, I mean, I know he says he's an evangelist, but he's a psychiatrist from the first vocation, but the garden story is a myth. Could you comment on that?
Well, Sharon, a number of years ago, kind of a part of this Enlightenment age, many people started to take a more critical look at scriptures. And they started to think, well, maybe these stories aren't actually real stories. They were just told to give us a certain truth or to hand us a certain nugget that we could live by. So they would say the story really doesn't matter. It's the moral of the story, kind of like an Aesop's fable or something like that.
Right, the water didn't really part. They got stuck in the mud.
Yes, all of those things, and they think they're just really really smart.
That's the psychiatrist thinking it from an intellectual viewpoint, and I'm thinking, boy, that book, the first book was so popular. And then he comes back saying, okay, now I'm a Christian and I'm an evangelist. And I read that first part. And I said, that's probably another reason why I'm not reading this book. I just might have good stuff in it, but oh my goodness.
Well, let me give you.
What is he going to disavow?
Well, let me give you a little clue. There's, you know, scientists that are making all kinds of statements, but they're not scientific statements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's a big difference. So, you know, some of these giants in the scientific world will make statements about how this world came into being, and all that is opinion. It's not a scientific statement. Why? Because they haven't been able to perform the science to bring them to any real conclusion. So it's just.
And if they can't find the proof, then they don't believe it. And even if they find the proof, they don't believe it.
Right. So a lot of those statements are just speculation. So anybody who comes up and says, we all know the story of the garden was a myth, that's just an opinion. There's no facts.
One person that doesn't agree with what you've just said because I'm not inclusive in the all.
That's right.
That's a huge, bold step, you know?
That's exactly right. So what they're trying to do really is to eliminate the real story, which is Christ. Christ coming into the world, Christ taking upon himself flesh and blood, Christ becoming sin for us, Christ being buried, Christ physically being raised from the dead, Christ physically ascending into heaven. That if we start picking and choosing what's myth, what's real, what's that, eventually it's just going to eliminate the story altogether. And so we have to come back to the point and realize God spoke, he created the world, there was an Adam and Eve, they chose to sin, it brought death to all, and life can be given to all through faith in Jesus Christ, that historical figure that lived 2,000 years ago, who claimed to be the I Am, who humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death on the cross, and then the third day he was rose again so that we could be justified and could receive life through faith in him and him alone. So I think your discernment is keen and spot on, Sharon.
Well, I appreciate your taking my call. I'm very pleased that I got through.
Well, we are too. Thanks for calling. God bless.
I think you can squeeze this last one in. Why does Paul say, Lucy wants to know, why does Paul say, I am the chief of sinners instead of I was the chief of sinners?
Well, I think he's just saying that he was a mess and that we should look at how Christ worked in his life as an example for us. He was the chief of sinners, and I think in light of the mercy of God and the grace of God and this new life that he has, I don't think he's ashamed to say, you know, I was the chief. I am the chief. you can't get any worse than me. So if God can work his grace in me, he can work his grace in you.
And all of us, for that matter. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Until tomorrow, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page, again, at basicgospel.net. And once again, that program note, a very special edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow, as Abraham Hillel will be here, the guide that will take us on the tour through the nation of Israel this coming year. So go online to basicgospel.net, click the events tab, get the information, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.